It's a literal shocker. Two in the goo, one in the poo.
I'd like to think that I'd be able to do it, but I couldn't even have Tommy put that tampon in my ass.
You're listening to the Snoozy Podcast.
Shannon.
I don't have to ask for oral or anal because those are my only options.
Do I have to do anything gay besides getting fucking ass? Welcome, welcome. Depending upon when we release this, it may have been a long time since you've last heard us.
I think regardless of when we release it, it'll be a long time.
That's true.
Probably.
That's true.
Odds are.
Well, welcome to the Loose News Podcast.
Yeah. I can't wait to promote this in three
months.
We're
still Ian Lazarus and Shannon Cook.
We are Ian Lazarus and Shannon Cook in no particular order.
Regardless of what you may have heard.
Oh, you're Shannon Cook, right? I always forget. I always get your name confused.
Yeah.
Cook, Shannon Cook. Okay,
cool. I'm jealous of both your hair.
We're jealous of your sense of humor.
Aw.
We're so swarthy.
Oh, he's back.
Well, as you can tell by the sound of a cat in the background, we are at the home of the one and only Dan DeMarino.
Yay!
Long time coming. Long time coming. He's been here with the
Dalton. He takes forever. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
We had to go through 15 layers of booking agents and management and venues.
Yeah.
Permits.
Exactly.
But we're here.
I'm gonna get this shit that's jumping. What I meant to. You've got carpal tunnel, you fuck.
I think about baseball the whole time.
Even during a hand job?
Yeah, I want to last. Because then I have to be alone again after.
Hand job. Who gets off from hand jobs anyway? Like, it's
with
just
someone's phone. Your phone's closed. It creates a
Force field.
Is that what it's
yeah, saying? There we go. Ooh. Well, I don't know.
This dickhead cat, I just want to mention real quick. This dickhead shitty cat stayed away from us for the last hour
while we
set up.
That's cats.
And bullshitted, and now he's here.
What a fame whore.
Now he's smushed.
That's like Paris Hilton in the early 2000s of cats.
Well, so, hand job.
Suck nearly as good.
Enough about cats. Back to hand jobs.
Well, if there's a certain level of excitement,
yeah,
I'm sure. But like for me, like with happy ending massages, I've had my share.
Which is a hand job.
Well, I mean, a lot of times they offer more, but I don't want more.
What do they offer?
Everything. Anything you want.
Is it that you don't want it or you don't want to spend the money?
It's a handful of things.
No pun intended. I thought the whole idea of the happy ending was that it was just a continuation of the massage.
Yes.
Onto your nethers.
It predominantly is, but I'd say at least 35% of the time there are other things offered.
Nice.
And for me, yes, it's a combination of the money, maybe like what I consider crossing the line in a different fashion. But
I thought Dan was reaching for my thigh.
For the money, though, to me, like, I'm almost going to feel the same from a hand. Like a lot of time, every time, if a masseuse blows you, there's a condom on your dick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that for me or the girl.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to have to suck my dick with a condom on. It's not fair to anybody.
It's kind of like just a waste of time. I mean, it's just, you're not getting a real feel. You're just feeling the inside of you.
And the whole time I'm thinking, in theory, if I'd ever done this, like this poor woman.
Theory.
To me, like, I had a joke. I don't think I ever did it on stage per se, but I like, getting a blowjob with a condom is like listening to the radio edit of gangster rap. Like you can still bob your head to it, but you're not
but
getting
you
the full
come.
Experience. But
yeah.
you can't come. Can you remember, Dan, the last time you've ejaculated from, not from your own hand, but from a hand job?
A hand job that was ending other acts or just straight from beginning to end hand job?
Ooh.
That's a game changer.
Because sometimes it's like, all right, let's finish this up, and
yeah, because sometimes I see that like with blowjobs, because sometimes towards the end of a blowjob, like you might finish it with your hand. I mean, not a pro like me, but some girls
still in your mouth or just with your hand alone.
Me personally,
what are you referring to? Is what I'm saying.
Just seeing it happen.
Gotcha.
You know,
you
and I
watch the blast.
Yeah, but
fireworks.
Now, more often than not, though, in that situation, have you been the one stroking or the guy has?
I usually...
Well, then it's just masturbation at that point.
That's what I've said in porn.
When the guy just jerks off at the end?
He pulls out of fucking a girl. Because I once used the analogy, it's like running 25 miles of a marathon and then like taking a car for the last mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's
the point.
No, I don't like to finish any, I don't like to do anything involving a hand job. To me, that's kind of like initiating something. Like you're watching a movie.
And you're starting and everything. It's
like, yeah, to me, that's where you start, never where you finish.
Okay.
Like, I don't think I've personally like finished a blowjob with my hand, but there's also times.
I'm not sure
like,
about that.
That's to me, you're a hand job is also like taking a break. Like if it's a long blowjob, which doesn't happen often, but some guys don't get off as easily with that. But like if you think you have a hair in your mouth or you just need to like take a breather for a second, like you'll just keep going with your hand while you sort your shit out and then go back to it.
You're not
gonna
stop.
Yeah.
So there's got to be cock motion at all times.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. It's something that's
just
to
rude
happening.
To it's stop at that motion. Point. Yeah.
Stop, stretch for a little while, yeah. Look out the window. Yeah, it's not.
Exactly. Check my phone.
Make sure you brought the cash.
Tell my other clients I'm going to be late.
Or the comedy ticket.
And we're back on the Loose News podcast.
Welcome. It's been a while.
Speaking of come. All right.
So here's what I want. I wanted to talk about something.
Okay.
Now, this has been inspired over the past weeks or couple days, especially on social media. And before I even give the sentiment, in full disclosure, obviously I'm a guy that is judgmental and miserable and usually hates everything that people
love. I know
love.
Where this is going.
So here's my question. So in regards to, say, politics, right. And in particular, like, say, Game of Thrones and the Pokemon game, okay?
Right, right.
What I've noticed, obviously...
Do not ever use those two things in the same sentence,
but
you beautiful
here's
bastard.
Here's why I will. Because it's been now a trending thing where people... And, again, in full disclosure, I hate... Well, I don't hate, but I'm not into either of those things and never will be.
I remember very specifically when I tried to talk you into watching Game of Thrones. These were your exact words. Are there dragons? Yes. Mm-hmm. How many? Three.
At the moment.
I said only three. He goes, well, that's three too many. And that was the end.
So it was a trap question.
Yeah.
So now, with that said, the new thing now, and I'm going to use these two as an example because it's been more prevalent. People feel the need, and again, I can relate to the thought. People feel the need to go out of their way to shit on this on say, social media.
Yeah.
Again, I think the Pokemon game is retarded.
Yeah.
And Game of Thrones, I don't know, but I'm not into it. So I'm never going to watch it. I'm asking you guys, and I think the answer is somewhat obvious. Why do people feel the need to shit on people's joy and express their disdain for things?
We'll let Dan go first.
I think it's just when people don't understand where the happiness comes from something, they just instantaneously think it's stupid. You know, and so they think, I don't understand how the Pokemon thing is fun. So I think it's dumb. And so those people must be dumb for liking that dumb thing.
You're speaking in the first person.
In that idea of what people. I don't give a shit if you like the Pokemon. Have a fucking blast. Chase fucking Pokemons around the backyard with a fucking phone. I don't care. Have a good time. I'm all like, you're not hurting me. I mean, I may make a joke about it, but okay, have a good time. If that's what you want to do, fine. I mean, I fucking watch wrestling. How am I going to shit on anybody what they do? I watch
all of guilty pleasures.
Yeah, we all have our things that we're into, you know, some of which may or may not be legal. And, you know, whatever you like. Like, I love Game of Thrones. I think it's awesome. I think it's a great thing. But if you don't like it, fine.
But that's my question. So why, and again, I know for me, like, how I feel and what I would do or say, why do people feel the need to press that send button and let everyone else know they hate it?
I used to be more of a hater like that. When I was younger. And
if
I think,
you feel that way, were you saying it?
No, maybe more then than I do now. Not a lot. But I mean, as I got older, I got more into that mindset of like, you know, like whatever.
Live and let live.
Yeah, live and let live. I don't care. I like a lot of weird, stupid shit. And if you like weird, fine, whatever. Everyone find your weird shit. We have one run on this shitty little like life. And it's over. We're all you get hit by a bus tomorrow. Who gives a fuck if you like Pokemon? Who cares? It doesn't mean anything. And it probably developed when I developed like the anxiety and like the I thought I was dying like every day for like a few years.
Hypochondria.
Yeah.
Put things in perspective.
When I developed all that shit, it's like, who fuck cares? Right. Who likes what? I couldn't care less. Like, I like what I like. You like what you like. Great.
But that's my question. So then what is the person who's posting the anti stuff? What are they lacking?
They haven't feared death yet.
That's it.
Part of it. They think
encountered.
Because they still think this shit matters. Like anything that's happening matters. They think like it matters if you like Pokemon. Like I think country music's fucking retarded. But all right, if you want to listen if you want to listen to someone sing about their truck and a beer, have a blast, dude. Truck and a beer and jeans. Yeah, all right, good times. If it's not
hurting anybody and it brings you joy, have at it.
And I used to openly hate on that, and now it's just like, fuck, have a good time. Who gives a fuck?
I think that open hating that comes is people also resent things where they feel like they're not a part of something, right, or mm-hmm. they're not in on it.
Right.
So
fear of missing out syndrome.
Yeah. Right. So instead of, you know, giving it a try themselves for whatever reason, it's like easier to just kind of shit all over it. I think it's almost like the emo and goth kids in high school.
Correct. Right.
Where it's like, I'm conscientiously making a point to let all of you know what sheep you are and how like
that's
unique,
exactly it.
Unique fucking and sheeple. Independent my thinking and my way of life is. Yeah, and, to me, that's what it
and
is.
And I agree. And again, I feel that way because conversely, I think the people, as my opinion, who overshare the use of Pokemon or Game of whatever, I find that not equally, but that's kind of annoying too.
Yeah.
So, but I can relate. I remember for me, like, I never wanted to watch Top Gun or Jurassic Park. I had a list of things that everyone loved that I kept to myself and just, I guess, for whatever reason, didn't want to take part in the mass appeal of things.
Right. Yeah.
But again, the question is why someone needs to go out of their way to shit on that. Why do they feel better about themselves?
Yeah, but where does the urge to express it come from?
Right, that's the thing. Like, again, I agree with the sentiment. It is retarded, but why do you need to shit on somebody's good time out loud?
I think it's a lot of what Shannon said. It's just like, you're not part of it. You don't understand it. And I think one thing we've learned, especially in the last 15 years, is that when you fear something, like, a lot of times when people fear things, they lash out at it.
Like the gays.
Like those fucking gays, man. Holy shit. I don't know what they're doing, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, that
it's,
whole
it's
thing.
It's the same mentality, whether it's racism or homophobia or sexism or disliking shows or being that unpopular kid in high school that no, you feel like you have no power, so your only power is to try and suck the joy or make people feel bad about right. what's making them feel good.
I can relate because as I'm very self-aware. I'm a little different than whatever, than some of the masses, but as a miserable person, which I am,
speaking for all miserable people,
and you both hung out with me in settings that I'm miserable in.
No, I'll vouch, you're miserable.
Like almost nothing makes me more miserable than other people's joy. Now that being said, I keep it to myself. Right. I think.
Yeah, I think you do.
At least I don't know. I might quip to you guys.
Yeah, it's a private
right
bitching.
It's almost like a jealousy with a relationship with my wife. That's my problem. I know it. So again, just looking at like online today, and again, I agree with the sentiment. It is retarded. I think the Pokemon thing, for example, the politics, they're both sides are retarded. But I can't imagine needing... I did do something about Pokemon. I put a picture of like my crotch.
I saw that.
And
yeah,
I wrote
good.
Like, hey, I got your Pokemon right here, whatever. That to me was like a joke or whatever. But like to actually like shit on it is a whole different thing.
I think it's also because the people that are doing this tend to feel alone in
the
some
Pokemon
respect
people?
And feel left out of something. When you post something publicly on
the
social media,
people.
Yeah, for example.
Okay. I can't.
I think it's a way of reaching out and trying to see who else feels the same by who's liking and commenting.
Right.
So you don't feel so alone.
Yeah, someone agrees with me.
Exactly.
Because I get it. I see people all day, my wife, my friends, social media. They do shit that like annoys me. For no reason, but why do you need to actually act on that?
I posted pretty much what you're saying. I mean, I posted something yesterday where I just said, like, a lot of people really seem to like this Pokemon thing, and a lot of other people really hate those people like that. You know, and it's just like, that's what it is. It's because a lot of people just, like, you like something. Like, fuck you.
Even if it
like,
is
how
stupid.
How dare you?
Even if it is
ridiculous.
Stupid, which it probably is, who cares?
I know. I don't.
Because, like...
I like enough dumb shit where, you know, it's... Dude, I love watching a shitty movie. Like, I know it's shitty. Because there's a magic to a movie that is garbage. There's something about it because you know someone put everything they had into it.
Right.
And it was comically bad.
And it's not even like it was campy or on purpose. It's just
it was
bad
just
movie,
shitty.
Sure.
And I love the magic of a shitty movie.
I think I'm the opposite. And my wife is more like you that way.
Ryan Dalton would definitely be on board with what Dan's saying.
He actually believes it's good.
He would like it. That's
he would
thing.
Think it's actually
he can't.
Good.
It can't be possible.
Can
I
be.
Refuse to believe it.
It can be.
I'm starting to believe it's not a character.
Of course. No. I mean, he spends money on these things.
That's true.
But like when I have something that I dislike, what I do is I remove it from my world.
Okay.
Whether it's a person on Facebook, whether it's a
girls
TV
over 25.
That's why he
over
hasn't
25.
Been answering me.
But like, that's the thing. Like, there's a whole different way. Like, my wife, there's someone that she went to high school with that's now married a rich man and is always posting things on Instagram and Facebook, bragging her mansion and her vacations. Asshole. But my wife can't wait to see them because she wants that hate. For me, I couldn't wait to block that person. I have enough hate for myself. I don't need more.
Have you ever found yourself watching a show on TV that you absolutely can't stand, but you don't turn it off because you're just feeling it? Feeling that, here's my example. You ever watch any, like, there's about 80 million different ones, but those shows that are pretty much on, like, the Learning Channel or those 80 other channels that are on, I use the word number 80 a lot, that are on those, you know, those random cable channels where it's just like buying houses.
Or reality of some kind.
Or digging through garbage to sell things.
All
or
the reality that shows.
Reality, I say with quotes, because it's all poorly scripted. And I'll sit there and I'm like, I hate it. And I'll watch it though. I'll watch it and they have the lame, oh, we're going to go over here. And it's like, like the shitty fucking stock guitar music.
Right.
And like, it's just, and like, you know, it's clearly these guys, that these rednecks who have no acting experience, that are like fed these terrible lines and they try to make it sound interesting and whatever. Here I am hating it.
But watching
it. But I will watch it and hate it while I watch it.
The only thing I can equate it to, because I've done the same thing, not a lot. And we're back on the Loose News podcast. But I was actually ironically about to say, I feel the same way about those reality shows as wrestling. Because to me, it's all things that are fake, that are masquerading to those who might not be so quick on the uptake as something that's real. So that's really the dividing factor in the reality shows, wrestling, all of that, is half the people watching know it's fake, understand it's fake, don't care, they're watching anyway just for the entertainment value or the outcome, as it were. And then the other half wholeheartedly believe that wrestling is real, American Pickers, the person's house they're showing up at, have no clue that they're coming.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things. So it's almost
even
like,
even though there's a camera crew waiting inside already.
Exactly. So it's almost like watching as an intelligent person trying to see how bad most of America has gotten that there are still people believing that this is possible.
Like in wrestling, and this wasn't the case when I was a kid, but like forever now, when...
Oh, kayfabe is dead in
like
wrestling.
In wrestling, when someone interferes in a match, their music comes on.
Yeah.
So clearly, like, even the person controlling the music,
his video
comes on.
It's like when Jackie Gleason would walk in and you have to wait for the audience to stop applauding. Right. It's like, it's because now it's a character is entering the story now. It's different.
My friend... You know, I don't want to mention his name this time, but you know who he's worked on a lot of TV shows and reality shows, and he's a sound guy. And in all of them, he'll tell me stories of things that it was going too smooth, so they had to create a female interest. Here's one, like he did a home improvement one, and it was going along nicely, so they took this like expensive antique door and like pretended it wasn't going to get there on time.
All right, yeah.
And that became one of the central things of that episode. Is this door going to get here? We have a fucking deadline. The door was there.
And then they cut to the commercial with like, I don't know if we're going to get it in time. And then the one guy's staring like, oh.
Right.
And then it cuts to the commercial and then it comes back. It's like, yeah, we got the fucking door.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
And for me, like, and I think all of us, but like for me, and I've talked about it in multiple forms. One of my biggest fears is not being in on the joke. I don't like being fooled.
Oh, yeah.
So
well,
that whole thing is offensive.
Well, I'm very cynical. Right. Yeah.
So to bring it back full circle to Pokemon.
Hand jobs? Oh, okay. I'm always in on that.
After the show.
Wait for the break.
But with Pokemon or any of those things, I think that's really what it comes down to is when you hate feeling in on the joke or
not
that thing that all those other people are kind of in on together, a lot of less evolved individuals have no choice, but like that's just their lashing out.
But I don't know. Yeah.
These people aren't less evolved that I'm seeing do it even too. It's like people that I
typically... but you don't know how emotionally evolved they are. Just because they're clever and funny doesn't mean that they are emotionally enlightened.
Because again, I agree with a lot of the sentiment, and again, no one hates joy more than me. But
absolutely.
But I don't think maybe I do. I don't think I can derive joy from ruining somebody else's. Although, you know what? I probably can.
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
It's
because,
like, you've never met you.
Yeah. You'd love to. Yeah. My whole thing is my joy comes from other people being happy.
Yes.
Like, I'm not a happy person. I'm a pretty miserable person. And I feel happy when people are happy, which is why I'll go on stage and shit on myself for 20 minutes. And that makes me feel good because other people enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it could be worse. I could be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't know. I like when people are happy. So, like, when I watch shit like the wrestling, or even when I watch sports, my happiness comes from, like, when something happens and seeing the crowd reaction. Like when I watch sports, like, someone scores a goal in overtime or something. Like, I love hockey. And just seeing, like, everyone go nuts or whatever. Like, that's...
Now, you're part of it.
I enjoy that.
You're going nuts, too.
Yeah, but it's, like, I don't know. There's something about that rise of like, a
so
bunch of happiness.
And you're
at
explaining
once.
Exactly what we're saying. It's the opposite. Now it's a bunch of miserable people bringing people down.
Fans of the other team, yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted to say quickly, like, when you say that you think you going on stage and shitting on yourself, the reason they're applauding is they're like, hey, at least I'm not that guy.
No,
I think it's more because just like people posting shit talking about Pokemon.
Yeah.
You are putting things out there which are kind of negative, but people are agreeing with you. Because more than anything, the people are going to laugh because they can identify with what you're saying, as opposed to ridiculing you.
Well, that's the thing. I like to bring that out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I like to bring... Making someone laugh is like a powerful...
It's the best.
Yeah, I mean, we've all done it once or twice, you know, where you have that feeling of just, like, forcing, you know, someone who... Especially when you have someone in the audience who's, like, kind of, like, cross-armed and not really into it.
Yeah.
And when you crack that person, it just feels amazing. It's just a great, you know...
Exactly.
I don't know. It sounds kind of sappy.
No, it's so much more rewarding to win somebody over with your personality than, say, your looks or your money or whatever.
Well, I've never won anyone.
But you have, though. But that's the thing. Because, like, if a hot chick or hot... Like, people walk in the room, that's easy. You know, to make a crowd of strangers laugh. And speaking of which, so you're saying about being miserable and bringing out joy in others, but then in turn, you're joyful too in that moment.
Yes, in that moment.
That does
absolutely
make you joyful.
There's nothing better than after having a good show, that feeling of being with the rest of the comics,
right?
And you're all together and you all had a good time, and there's random people you don't know coming up to, like, you know, you're sitting there talking to like two or three comics around the show, and random people just come up to you, like, oh, I had a good time, whatever. It's like, that's it. That was what we were going for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You came out, you had a good time, you go home, and then there's nothing worse than that drive home. Alone for like an hour and a half, just driving home, just like, oh, back to this.
Right.
Yep.
And then you get home and the adrenaline's still pumping, so you're up till 4 a.m. just sitting there. Yep. Like, it's just it's an amazing peak and valley in one night, and it's every night. And that's why there's no question why we're all so fucked in the head. Because you go on that emotional roller coaster every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have a bad show, like, there's nothing you want more than to have a good one, because you didn't get your fix. Like, you didn't get that,
right.
you know.
It's like buying a bad bag of drugs.
Yeah, you didn't get what you were looking for.
All this effort.
I don't get the peaks as much, see, and that's my personality. For me, like, if I think I truly did well, I'm almost relieved. I don't ever feel great. And when people come up to me after a show, I'm almost embarrassed or like, yeah, whatever, you don't mean it.
Oh, in my head, I'm just, oh, you're fucking lying to me. You're treating me like the kid in the Special Olympics. Like, like, you know, like, I'm
you
a
did
fucking
good buddy.
Yeah, like I'm like a make-a-wish, and you're just coming over like, hey, fella. Like, I think that in the back of my head too, but
it still feels good.
It still feels good.
It's better than the alternative.
But that's also what I've noticed with real, like, high-end comics that have quote-unquote made it, is that point is where you stop being funny, when you don't have those thoughts in the back of your head after a show.
And when you believe.
Yeah.
So?
When you really believe wholeheartedly that, like, you walk on that stage and you deserve a laugh from everyone. Oof. And, you know, that you were owed that. And it's something you take for granted.
Oh, I have the thing right before I go on stage every single show. I immediately doubt every second of material I have. Like, right before I go on stage, I'm like, my set's in my head, wherever I'm like, oh, none of these jokes are funny. Shit.
Yeah.
Like, they worked last week, but this week they're not going to work at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I go up there with the fear. I mean, I work with the fear, and I don't know. I don't know. There's nothing like that feeling when it goes well, and then the feeling when it goes to shit. And I feel like
the same thing about all of this could be said of hand jobs.
Again, we're circling back to that. Yeah. I mean, do you care if it goes well, the hand job?
I mean, if I'm only giving like him a hand job, then obviously not.
I feel like you're indifferent. I think you're just like, you know.
No,
like,
a hand job is an indifferent action.
Yeah.
To me.
A hand job is like the yellow light.
If
like
a blowjob or sex goes badly.
It would be the green light.
Yeah. No, if a blowjob or sex goes badly, a more in when you're letting them inside your body as a girl, when that goes badly, then it's a whole thing. But a hand job, it's like clearly I don't give a fuck like, to begin
girl,
with.
I had a girl, whenever it was, that I wasn't really into.
How long have I been married?
Check the time.
Not how old are my kids?
Yeah, I think it'll be done before this podcast comes out.
But like, I remember like I fingered her forever because I just... She may live, all right, anyway, so back on the Loose News podcast... Oh, yeah, it was you.
It was me.
Oh. But not that, not even the one that, whatever.
Your wife's going to check all your travel receipts.
Not even my wife. I'm not worried about her.
You never even went to Seattle until we were married.
She doesn't listen to any of the shit Ian does.
No, which is the best thing about Kylie Lazarus ever. That.
And you know what? I don't care.
It's like, her indifference.
Yeah. That's good, though. It's not even indifference. It frees you.
No, she wants to hear how to go, how was it, but like, I don't want to listen to this either.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit through this. I have to once at least to edit it.
Yeah, sorry. I'll listen to it probably when it releases. Just like, what did I say that night? Right. And it'll be like, oh, God.
That's how I feel. That's the great thing about drinking a lot is like, every podcast that I do is a surprise even to me.
Ooh.
You know, like when Laz will text me as he's editing and kind of be like, hey, is this okay to leave in? I'm like, wait, what did I say?
Send me that clip?
Yeah. Because I'm like, I have no idea. I just kind of go through these things as if I'm having a private conversation.
We went through a phase where her and I were both drinking 40s. And the way Shannon and I drink and do drugs.
Oldie, if you must know.
What that really means is I have a half of 40 and she has one and a half. So by the end of the shows, for like a good solid month or so, she was pretty lit. So the ends of the shows were getting pretty interesting.
Dude, you know how exciting this is for me? I never get to get drunk doing a show. I mean, I love that you guys came to my house. This is awesome.
We love it too because fuck if we're not tired. We're done with the Shamrock. We have to retire that shithole. So.
Yeah.
You guys still do shit at the Shamrock?
Well, we went there last week and we got locked out.
Awesome.
So... But I am actually moving, which I haven't talked about here yet, and I will eventually, but we're going to have like an office in that place that's going to be kind of designated as our home base,
nice.
Which is nice.
Very cool, man.
I feel great.
We might not put the egg crate.
Oh, we might, though. Oh, but we might.
That's the only way it feels important.
It'd be pretty professional feeling, I think.
We might
if you do that. Just put it up for the hell of it.
I think so.
Yeah.
I might get actual egg crates and just...
We're just going to use all the empty like egg cartons once they finish them in the house.
Just tape them to the wall.
We had this leftover cotton batting from a pillow that the dog chewed up.
But it is great to be here and anywhere that's not dank and shitty.
Well, you did say you're happy to be here, though.
So. Yeah. We're dank and shitty enough. We don't need the environment to mirror our inner...
We bring the dank
inner,
to you.
Yeah.
This is pretty dank and
shitty. We're like memes. It's dank as
That's
fuck.
Another thing. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of memes, I'm of the opinion that I'm trying to think back of anything I've ever done. I'm of the opinion, because most people, like, memes become, like, viral. I don't think I'd ever put up a meme that I didn't make. What are our thoughts on using memes that exist in other formats?
I do it all the time on Facebook
and
Instagram.
Sometimes a meme just says it.
No, because it's like anytime I find a meme that makes me literally laugh out loud to myself, I just like screenshot it or save the image depending on where I find it, and then I'll repost that.
And there's no shame in that. That's
no,
okay.
Because no one in the world thinks I made that.
Right.
And not.
In fact, it's more rare to have a meme you did make.
Yeah, I'm not masquerading it.
Someone's
as something.
Making these memes.
Yeah,
meme
well,
makers.
Most of the time they have the little tag hidden in it of from.
Right.
It's tagged right in
mark.
The image. Yeah.
Right.
So to me, it's just passing something along, you know, that
so
you
we
found
all know
funny.
That nobody made that the person typically didn't make that.
That's why I love any thread that involves Rosario Scanio, because he has like 50 memes that he just throws into the conversation. I just right click them all and save them.
Yeah, like to me, this is how I feel about it. On Instagram particularly, it's like there's nothing more irritating than having a friend, usually a girl, sometimes guys, but mostly girls are guilty of this, where their whole Instagram is them taking the same selfie from the same angle,
yep.
Wearing a different outfit in a different place. And it's like you look through when you actually click on them instead of just seeing them in the feed, and the whole fucking thing is just, the same thing of their tits and their face. I'm like, that is boring as fuck to me. I'd rather intersperse like a selfie here and there, but mostly like, oh, I saw this and thought it was funny. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. If you're trying to pass it off in a way that you're trying to dupe like the people fat Jewish somehow.
Thing. I don't know if it's so much the people posting it as the responses that drive me.
What do you mean?
That make me more like when somebody posts a meme and then someone's like, "You're crazy." It's like, he didn't make that.
Gotcha.
He didn't make that. Like that's, you realize that, right? Like, you know, and that bothers me. Like, oh, like, yo, you're so funny. And it's like, no, fucking whoever on Dank Memes is funny. Yeah, and then he posted it.
Or like when you post something that, like, I remember I posted a meme a few weeks ago where it was Mike Tyson kissing one of his pigeons.
Yeah.
And the tag on the meme was, I want someone to love me the way that DMX loves this seagull. And I, like, found that, like, two in the morning, and I don't know what kind of chemical assist I maybe had, but I like couldn't stop laughing. Like every time I looked at it, it got funnier. And then like I went away and I was like thinking about it, and it just like kept cracking me up. So the next day I posted on Facebook and all these people are like, that's Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
That's a pigeon. And it's
they didn't get the joke.
Yeah. It's like, motherfucker, like why would someone just, that's what's frustrating to me.
Right.
Like, no one thinks I made it, but the point is,
that you're
like,
wrong. You misunderstood it. You misunderstood it.
Stupid Shannon.
Right.
That's not an accurate meme. Here's my Bernie Sanders one. It is accurate.
Yeah. To me, that's the sin, is not in sharing joy again by something cracked you up so you want to show other people. It's in, you know, people taking all of it too seriously.
I love that when you try to post something that's like a joke or whatever, and then like, you know, we're all comics, so like all your comic friends will have something funny to add, and like someone will just totally not get it, and just, yeah.
No. I never respond to that.
I just ignore that. I move on, yeah.
I make it a point, because I can typically do well in them, but I will not have an online argument. I will not.
No, I don't do that. There's no point to that.
And one thing I've talked about, in fact, at the last, the last mic I did, a bit that I'd like to work on is like the idea of the movie The Purge.
Right.
A social media purge. We can have 24 hours to comment on everyone's post exactly how you want to.
Speak nothing but truth.
That is fantastic.
And see who's left. And I'm kind of working on that, but I think I want to do that.
Stolen.
And just see, said here. I have my watermark on that shit. And both your faces.
7/12/2016. Ian Lazarus.
But I would just love, like, because, like, I, again, don't get me wrong, I can hate with the best of them.
My whole
question was, like, is the word secure? Is the word, I don't know what the word is. Whatever it is, I have enough of it to not have to spew my hate on my Facebook wall toward a general population of people. Unless I think it's a funny joke.
Mm-hmm. You just spew your hate all over Asian massage therapists.
It's been a long time since.
That's not hate.
That's not hate at all. That's gratitude.
That's life.
That's liquid gratitude.
That's the life-giving.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's my seed mixing with her poppy seed.
Yeah. She loved you a long time.
Not that long.
Until it gets out of the hair, at least.
God damn, it's been a long time. That was my thing for a while. And now I don't need to pay for it anymore.
I know your games.
I bait and switch.
Yeah. You're playing a whole other kind of Pokemon.
What's the bait and switch? What do you bait with?
Now, back when I was single.
Can I
please
explain what you do?
Please. Yeah, let me hear Shannon explain all get it cut better.
For a friend. For a friend. So what Laz likes to do is
there's
an unsuspecting girl who's just wandering through life, minding her business, being cute, posting selfies. And then Laz will like glom on, start flirting with this girl, kind of in his mind thinking that she wouldn't maybe be interested back.
Yeah.
Then
the
girl will take interest, and then much like Pepe Le Pew, then he panics and doesn't quite know what to do with it. Even though he wants it, he feels like now it's not right. Like before it was just like innocently kind of chasing a dream, and then it's like, oh wait, what do you mean I can have it? Wait, no, I shouldn't have this. And so then the girl's left kind of being like, wait, what happened? I thought you wanted this. And he's just like, yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's my whole life. Yeah. Except I'm not doing it on purpose.
I'm not either.
I will do that. I will drop the lure out there and see like if anyone's And then someone will be, and I'm like, well, no, I can't possibly be. That can't be it.
And that's how I got married.
I felt, yeah. I mean, I've had people from like my 20s. Like
you said, you've had people say all you had to do was ask.
All you had to do was make a move. I'm like, oh, make a move.
It's terrifying.
Not stare at you blankly. It's terrifying. Right. Oh, all right.
Yeah, because girls in the same respect are sitting there like, why isn't he making
but
a move?
It's the Murphy's Law.
But it's because it is. It's because
when
the,
you finally do, when you do get rejected.
And then it hurts.
Now, granted,
and then you got to drink a whole lot.
That's the real question is, why do you guys, from what I hear, always choose to make the moves on girls that aren't being so receptive? And then the ones that...
That's not always true.
That's not always true. First off, me and Ian, because we've discussed this before, we don't understand when they're being receptive or not.
Yeah, I think that's the big problem.
Because we don't understand when it's polite.
Or we can't accept it.
I don't know the difference between polite and flirty. You know what I mean? Like I assume, like, I've looked back later and been like, oh, no, that person was being flirty, and I thought they were just being nice to me. You know what I mean? And I can't, in the heat of the moment, I panic, like Ian said, I panic.
I will instantly think it's flirty because mm-hmm. of the inflated ego that I have.
Right.
But then,
I don't have that thing.
My inflated sense of self-loathe will say, no one can love you.
Right,
and
you're
I'll
an unlovable
pull back
beast.
And I won't accept it.
Aw.
So
I hate that that's what the inner voice says.
As opposed to what?
Oh, that's what the inner voice says.
Aww. Yeah.
That's totally no one can love you.
Yeah.
Not mine isn't no one can. Mine's no one really wants to.
That's worse.
Like they could, but there's other things to love that aren't you.
To me, that's so crazy. Like the way the guys think about girls and what they find attractive or interesting.
No, because you're not most girls.
Yeah, you're not most girls.
Now, you make a lot of sense. And you can point us, I think, toward getting most girls, but you don't see things like most girls.
I know how they work, but I don't work like
right.
them.
Right, correct.
Well, that's the thing. I know how dudes work, but I don't work like them.
Yeah, no. You and me, we're on the same.
I've seen humans interact. I just can't do it.
I've seen humans interact, too, on the movies.
Movie screen.
Usually it ends in a money shot.
And sometimes I've always felt in situations where when I was
Have
single,
you tried being a pizza delivery boy?
Cutting the hole in the middle.
Oh my God.
Here's your sausage pizza.
Big fat sausage pizza. That's one of my favorites.
But it's so gross. She has like grease on her face.
I know.
Pizza.
And there's sauce on his dick. It's so weird.
No, it's so nauseating.
I don't like food in my porn.
And the problem, it was like the hottest girls ever. And then it ruined it by that grease on their face.
I know.
I couldn't watch it.
The sausage.
I don't give a fuck about the grease. See, I think this is the thing from the girl perspective. For a girl, it's not like, oh, that hot girl has grease on her face. Mm-hmm. Because then that's just like, celebrities are just like me. But on the other end, it's like, oh, I like pizza.
I like dicks.
Yeah.
A dick and a pizza.
I'm too Jewy, though. Like, I'm not Jewish at all, but pizza. Like, no, that, yeah, that's a fat
What do they do with
side.
That middle part
that's
they cut
That's being
out.
Wasted.
No, my whole thing is just like, that's going to be very messy to clean up.
That's what I'm saying. But
like, I can't take joint, and my OCD is just like, that pizza yes. is all over the floor now.
I have like my spectrum side is like, I have like textile issues. I don't want like, that on my, I couldn't imagine the feeling of that, like pizza on my face would drive me crazy.
Right.
And the looking at it makes me like uneasy.
Right.
Even on his dick, like I don't want food on me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm eating, I'm so meticulous with napkins and cleaning myself up yeah. with every bite.
It's not really the food part of it that does anything for me. It's more like the trickery kind of aspect where it's like she's being coerced into
thinking like, there's a pizza, but there's a penis in there.
Gross, cheesy, fucking.
Well, they end the same.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't need fucking gunk all over your shit.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
It's ending that way for her anyway.
But not the same.
What's
kind
more
of gunk?
Disgusting?
Different
some
gunk. It's a gunk of love. We just went over this.
Pizza
grease. Pizza by far.
It's the gunk of life.
I don't think you're gonna break out from spooge.
You might.
You can.
Can you?
Can
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank God I wiped that off my tummy.
The higher a guy's sperm count is, the more irritating it is to the skin.
That explains why I haven't
yeah,
had
because the more sperm that are moving around. The more irritating it's going to be, internally or externally.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
That's generally how you can tell if a guy has a high sperm count. Is it somehow, like, irritating to your skin or your...
Mine must be 12.
12 sperm?
12, sperm, 12 sperms.
A dozen?
Something
Dan
like that.
Does.
This is like Dove Extra Moisture. This is fine.
Dan's got 12. I knew Dan had 12 down there.
I don't have any burns anywhere.
Flakes right off by an hour later.
Like dick chips.
To me, like old jizz stuck on you or on anything, like when it starts flaking off, I'm always like, this, it starts to look like the like flake, like instant mashed potatoes. Like, I'm just like, what is all this? The next morning, like, I'm always like, how did I miss all of this?
How does it stay? Hmm. Like, I know I've come on myself and gone to sleep and it evaporates. It just goes away.
No, it's on your sheets.
Well, yeah, but it's like, maybe it gets stuck in my, like, you know, my stomach hair. Yeah, but
Kylie does the wash and you just don't see
it. But on your face, because that's an area where you're not putting the blankets over your face. It's not being irritated by anything else that's wiping it off for you. Mm. Like, the face is really where it the sticks. Next morning you're like, oh.
Right.
Oh, yeah, so you're not shooting high enough. That's a problem.
I'm
not
got a little egg enough. On my face.
You gotta bend down a little bit and get it up there.
Onto my own face.
Yeah, onto your face. So you can have the experience.
At the age I'm at now, I couldn't shoot that hard to hit my own face.
I would be shooting it.
Yeah, no, and I am, but just not up to my face because I'm old.
Also, I'm going to assume getting come out of a mustache probably isn't easy.
It can't be.
It's got to be tough.
I'm sure a shower.
You got to comb it out.
Yeah, right?
That's why they all use the wax and the combs.
Yeah, that's not wax.
No, because like that's got to be... What a magic skill to just be able to project something like that.
I've had that happen. Oh, you mean just in general?
Yeah, though the only thing that I've had even remotely like it was like when I was lactating, like I would shoot all my friends with it. Like if we were outside, I was like, a titty's getting whipped out and I'm squirting you like an Asian fetish video just because I can, you know?
I can dig that.
So it's like... To be able to do that just your whole life, that's amazing.
See, like, if a guy is going to do that, beside the fact that it's like assault, like we'd have to first like chub up and then stroke it long enough. That wouldn't be as pretty as a titty squirting.
Yeah,
I guess.
And as instant.
Oh, there's nothing sexy about a guy coming in the least.
That's not true. I disagree.
To her, at least.
Yeah, to you. To a girl. Yeah. Well, it's
so vulnerable and probably it's embarrassing. It's so vulnerable
and you probably look like a fucking idiot. I'm
yeah,
make
but girls
sure never
love
to see my...
that the vinegar strokes
are
face.
Are you sure?
That's why I wake up to fall asleep.
The more contorted and noise, the more like kind of noise that gets made during all that. It's like that's like a crowd cheering after a joke.
Really?
You know, it really is. The more cum there is, and the more noise, and the more contorted the face, it's like the better job you've done.
I'll have to make sure I remember that next time I trick somebody.
Yeah, I'm serious though. That's some life advice for you guys.
All right, keep that in mind. 2018.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about. I mean, I don't go nuts. I keep it real. Like I don't want to amplify it. It is what
no,
it is.
No, don't
whenever
fake
I'm
it. But
that moment happens.
But don't try and minimize it. Is what I'm telling you guys. Everything. Girls love it.
But again, you're not necessarily. But the girls you've spoken to, you've had agreement on this.
Yeah.
Right.
No, there's a lot of girls that I know that are into some weird shit. Mm-hmm. It's not just me.
No, I have known. Girls who, sorry, I had to stroke my pussy. Right.
Yeah, no, you're just covered in pussy right now.
No, I know what you're saying. There are girls who do like that whole. I just didn't think it was. I didn't think it was a whole large swath of them. I thought it was just a rarity.
Fuck, I hate this guy. Do you?
Yeah,
he's an asshole. No, because there's a lot of girls that will watch videos of not a guy with anyone else, just a guy jerking off.
Oh, is that
coming.
Who watches those things? Oh man, I always stumble on them by accident.
Oh, yeah?
How I watch it. But then afterwards, like...
And once I finish coming, I feel awful about myself.
No, I will. And I'll be like, when's the girl enter this scene? And it's, you know...
I've been tricked.
We've been hoodwinked.
Duped. I love that we both went there.
I've never even accidentally... Like, sometimes I've seen the thumbnail of, like, gay shit, and I'm like, I don't want to know if I like that.
Yeah, what if I really like it a lot?
I'm not sure I really like it, but I bet... Just because the passion would probably get me hard. I guarantee you, because I'm not closed-minded in the sense. I'm not, although I don't want to see it, but I bet just the sheer like energy and passion would turn me on.
Sometimes I specifically look
for gay male porn.
Well, not like anal
like
sex and things.
Porn.
Yeah.
Well, you're goddamn right we
but
do.
But like a gay glory hole and things like that. Because I like watching blowjobs. I don't care whose face is on that dick. I just like watching a blowjob.
I love the talent. Yeah, I like
and honestly,
seeing
I feel like
skills.
Guys are much better at it.
Gay well, because they know how it feels.
Exactly.
No, that would not make me better at it. I've heard that theory. I do not. Do you think you know how to suck a dick well?
I don't want to know.
Yeah, but
do
if it was a competition,
what if my
the
fear
best
is
blowjob giver.
What
ever?
If I'm really good? Then I have to like do
shame
it.
On you for holding it back from the world.
Then
you're right.
Great, I'm the best blowjob.
Don't selfish prick.
Don't hide your light under a bushel.
In the HV comedy scene, Dean Marino gives a great head.
So in theory. Would you be willing to blow me right now if Shannon would blow you while you were doing it?
No.
Okay, fair.
I don't want to suck your dick.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not worth it.
I'm straight. I just don't, like, I'm just...
I have no... I mean, look, I did...
I have no desire.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. I believe Meatloaf.
Come on.
That's the bait and switch, you asshole. I think I'm getting a good story, and it just hurts my soul.
I hit my sexual peak at 5. What a loser.
I haven't hit mine yet. I'm hoping my 40s rock.
Oh my God.
They will.
Yeah, if I live to
it. It gets better.
Women just get more and more desperate.
That's great.
They start trying real hard.
That's good.
Showing up just ain't good enough anymore.
There's nothing that turns me on more than meh.
All right. Nothing else going on.
Could be worse.
All right, listen, so this is a great time for a break on the Loose News Podcast. We will talk to you in a few.
Okay.
And we're back.
Here we are.
Hey.
So much has happened.
Yep.
It took Dan longer than we both thought.
Yeah.
Sorry. Look, sorry. I guess I'm not skilled like I thought I was.
We were
doing those rough chocolate pans.
And we were doing, and then I made eye contact, and I made it weird, and I had to get back in my zen.
I had to leave.
Don't
the
look
room.
At me.
Don't let anyone know how I live.
So here's a thought I had.
Oh.
I have this thought all the time, but I was in the post office online. It was a long line because it was like noon. Because
it's also the post office.
It's the post office. So yes, perpetual long line.
There's one person there.
This guy had his two children. They must have been about, I don't know, my kid's age, 6 and 8, boy and a girl. Boy had a Superman cape on. And they were a little hyper at first.
Well, he was special.
No, not quite. He was black. So anyway, the kid is very hyper. And see, as a parent, I'm very hyper aware of other people's annoyance level for my kids and try to keep them in check.
Try to keep it, yeah, to keep it down. Yeah,
out
yeah.
of, you know. Well,
respect.
It's the right thing to do, but yes, yeah. Out of just conscientiousness for others. So these kids, most of the boys, very hyper. He's running around. He's like jumping over back and forth over that velvet rope that keeps the line going.
Yeah.
It's loud and annoying. And it's annoying, but okay, whatever.
What post office were you at where the rope was velvet?
Yeah.
They're all velvet. What kind of other ropes are there? Well, there's arcing ropes of jism that you're used to.
Yeah.
So.
Chain link inside of PVC.
I don't arc, mine dribbles.
So anyway, long story short, so now the kid finally nicks the rope one jump and it falls and crashes and it's loud. And like the dad kind of just stands there and lets some other adult pick the thing up. He's not even, he's half-heartedly, come on, get over here, Ezekiel, or whatever the
yeah.
Ezekiel.
Name was. I don't know.
Ezekiel.
The kid's name.
Were they
Amish?
African-American. I was just...
He looked.
Well, we've got barns to raise.
Churn the butter.
Everyone knows that
Jebediah Jr.
African American names cross boundaries. They name them kids everything. It don't matter. So
I like how you got a little tude with you when you said that.
It don't matter.
It don't matter.
So, so
anyway,
little boy blue. You know, for a second the kid stops because he's like shocked into.
Yeah.
Seriousness for a second.
And but then he gets right back.
Becomes like, you know, swinging it like a jump rope and this and that. And everyone's kind of, to be honest, in my mind, I'm just thinking, don't be racist. Don't be racist. And I could tell every white person was extra nice. This is right after the whole thing happened with, you know, the fucking killings. And
which one?
The and, one thing we're like, let's not talk
about
that.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, right? That's we're not weird,
gonna,
right? That we just, went right into that one thing.
It just seemed like every white person in line was like extra nice. And the black people like, oh, great. You know, fuck. We all look bad. And they do, but if you call me racist, I will be upset. So
don't tell me till tomorrow.
Then the kid's like swinging the rope, not from the rope like in the old days, but now the kid's like, you know, hitting the rope and making noise, and he's annoying.
Once
and
again, I'd like to point out to all listeners that expressive. My mouth is agape.
So
I'm watching.
Now he's like touching the rope, and the male clerk behind the woman behind the, one of the women behind the counter is like, "Listen, young man." Someone once broke their arm, please stop. And she kept saying it. The kid kind of like, not like with any disrespect, but just kind of like smirked and just kept doing it. And the father's oblivious. And so where I'm going with this whole diatribe is that.
Can't wait.
No. It's not. Well, we'll see. Is I really feel like I missed out by a couple generations of being able to hit our kids.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I kind of think that's needed. And like that illustrated a moment where it hit the fucking kid.
It's not even needed. What's needed is the threat of the possibility
Correct.
That it could happen.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because what my dad always used to say kind of about, you know, because my father is old enough to be my grandfather.
Okay.
And he was much more on like the, you know, giving like spanks or slaps or, you know, like corporal punishment stuff. Mm-hmm. And
that's why you like that now.
Now I got to pay for it, yeah. You know, but his motto was always, you only got to do it once. Just one good time
strike
to let
big,
him know.
Strike once.
Yeah. And I think
that's our motto too, coincidentally.
We're back on the Loose News Podcast.
On her back on the Loose News Podcast.
I don't have a tramp stamp or anything. I don't know how it keeps
sorry,
ending.
Corporal punishment, you're dead.
Tension. You can cut this tension.
Knife. So the whole point is we now live in a world where from kindergarten on, and I have, well, you know, he's not that young anymore, but you have young kids, you must know, they, from a very early age, have these people from, you know, social workers, child protective service people
teachers.
Come in and, you know, relay to the kids that no one's allowed to put their hands on you in this way, that way, whatever, and they give them like a little wooden coin with like the CPS information on it. So they like hand that to them. And it's like, if anyone ever, you can either call this number or you just come into school and you can silently hand this coin to a teacher or anybody, you know, from the school and they will
call for you
basically, even without you expressing
I'll
what it's about.
I'll hit the kid with my phone.
Yeah.
Fuck
that. So
but see, that sucks because that gives that, then you're trusting the judgment of a child.
Yeah, no, my son, from the time they handed that to him, he was never, like, I've never hit him or anything like that, but it was always one of those things where, to this day, this 14-year-old asshole, you know, just, like, has this little, like, you know, casino chip.
He holds just, the cards.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just like, oh.
And that's part of the, right.
And he says that stuff all the time. If like, me or BJ or my parent, anybody tries to, like, discipline him in a non-physical way. We're not even screaming at him, calling him names. Just anyway, he's just like, oh, like, and it's like, oh, you fuck.
But if you had a CPS person spend an hour, they'd understand, right?
You hope.
They'd hit themselves.
Who knows what, you know, could have, nobody wants that is the point.
I just feel like I was hit here and there. I wasn't beaten. I was hit here and there.
No, I was damage. Too, for sure.
But you're right. The threat of it, and it's a certain point as a parent that I'm out of options.
Yeah, and everyone has their phone, too. So it's like if you were out at a store or anything, if you're trying to drag your kid out of there for being an asshole,
yeah.
If you don't drag him out, just gingerly and tenderly, like if you're Barney, you know, trying to fucking hug the kid out of the store, anything can be captured and recorded and reported and, you know, it's a hard world.
I grew up Italian. We had a wooden spoon. Right. And it got to the point where you got whacked with it a few times and then all she had to do was reach for it. And you're like, all right, stop fucking around.
I don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
You just got
to
do it once and then all it takes is my dad would, you know, after
he'd open his belt.
Not even a belt, but just kind of like give you that, you know, show the back of their
why
hand.
Why you little?
Yeah. And it was like, oh, I'm crossing a line.
Right.
And I don't want to know what's on the other side.
Right. Oh, you would get the threat before you even left the car as a kid. When you're going to the store. We're going inside. You're going to fucking behave.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
And that was like your pre before you got in the store. You were already pre-trained.
You were in trouble already.
Yeah. You're already going in on probation. You were on probation, right. Going into the store. Don't fuck up once. Don't ask me for shit. We're going in, getting our shit, leaving. Don't ask. Don't go near the toys. Just stay near me. Yep. Shut the fuck up.
It's the same difference between when I was growing up. I remember at the start of the school year, the teachers would explain to you that you currently have a grade of 0.
Uh-huh.
And you have to build your grade up to whatever it's going to be.
Right.
Nowadays, they start you off, you're starting at 100. And then everything that you do from that point on is kind of chipping away at it. So
right.
It's like kids within the past 15 years, it's this entitled, like you're so uber protected and you know all of your rights.
It's the participation medal syndrome. Everyone's special. Everyone's
safe.
Yeah,
everyone's a special little snowflake. Yeah.
And it prepares you for such a false sense of reality.
And then you get into the real world and you realize you're not shit.
Right. Most of us are not shit. Or even, how about the whole threat of like, I'm going to call your father.
That used to be threatening.
Now it's like, fuck that nigga, call him. No one cares anymore. Well,
now it's like,
I'm paraphrasing what my kids said.
Now it's like, if you react the wrong way to someone saying, I'm going to call your parents, they're going to fucking report you.
Right.
You know?
And I kind of feel in my situation where I don't lose my cool often, but they're frustrating. They're kids.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain points where, I mean, there are things I can either take away or I guess a timeout or put in a bed. Bed is the biggest threat. You're going to bed. You know, they're 8 and 6. Going to bed is the punishment. You know, even the computer, little things that they enjoy in their rooms or whatever, take it away. But to me, there's nothing like a good smack. And I'm not talking about, you know, hurting a kid or punching a kid. I'm talking a shove.
Yeah, it's not
a
UFC. Smack,
a rat tail with a wet towel. You know, like whatever.
All right, now it's getting hot.
But I just watched those kids and I just felt like, now, okay, granted, that was one example of what might have been a very docile father. So I can't, you can't judge fucking the world on this guy. But like, I was in my head thinking, this kid needs to get hit right now.
I remember,
he's not listening to anybody.
I remember being in a store, and it was the aisles weren't straight. Like, you know how in a store usually you have the first set of aisles and then like a break in the middle and the second set, and they were off centered. So like when you walked up an aisle, you could then walk into one or two different aisles. Like they were kind of off. And so I'm in an aisle and I look down. And this little girl wanders from the aisle on my right over into the aisle on the left. And the mother realizes she doesn't have the kid, runs around, grabs the girl by the arm, and goes, stay with me. That's how they'll get you. And I thought it was the most terrifying thing to say to like a little four-year-old who's just dancing around having a good time.
That's the, also, modern, that's the modern fairy tale, Dan.
Also, I was pretty sure I was they, which bothered me a little bit. But it was like just that. But like... But it was just like, because you're saying, you're talking about non-attentive, and then that's like the opposite of this, like the putting the fear of...
Hyper-vigilant.
Hyper-vigilant of like, just you're 4 feet away from me, they are going to get you. Like, who the fuck is...
That's the basis of every childhood story that's ever been written up until like the things that are newly being written. Every single childhood story, every fairy tale is about... Don't go near the woods because there's these monsters or these wolves.
Like the
or
movie
these,
The Village, if you've seen that, where they created a fake threat.
Everything was about instilling fear as a way of control. Oh, yeah. It's basically like, you know, the fucking Vatican through
that's
the
not
Middle
so
Ages.
Bad sometimes, though.
Well, that's why religion exists.
Or not even fear, like falsehood. I mean, there are some things that you need to express that are real fears.
Of course.
You don't want to make up, you know, the fake man in the sky kind of shit to watching you play with yourself.
But that's the modern day equivalent, you know,
right,
is like back then, certainly wild animals weren't as big of a threat as other people that could do harm. And all of those were kind of created to illustrate, like, there's always something, whether it's human or animal, whatever it may be out
vigilant.
To get you.
Yeah.
You know,
if you
or the elements or nature.
Right.
Yeah. So it's about like...
But we have that now. We have that whole thing now. I mean, you look at anything on the news, it's all about living in a constant state of fear. That's what the news is.
Like, it goes back forever. The Cold War. It goes back forever.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. Like, I'll go to visit my mom, and she watches the news, and I was like, and I don't watch the news.
Which news? That's what.
The regular five
local news,
like Channel 7, like 5, 6, 7 o'clock news, and it's all just like horrible thing that happened. This person got shot in the face for doing nothing. This is terrible. This is with a gun. Sorry. This is bad. Like, this is all this bad shit, and they'll show one good thing, but then all the commercials are like
cautionary tale.
Yeah, and then all the commercials are like for burglar alarms and for anti-anxiety medications, and it's like. And I'll be watching. I'm like, don't you see what they're like? This is all
they're beating you to a pulp.
They're beating you into fear, and then the commercials are all about how to save yourself from the fear.
What will make you happy right now to forget what we just told you?
And what will keep you safe?
Yeah, we're gonna sell this with sex or food or this or that because it's going to make you feel safe and okay
and
happy in the
moment.
The
person like selling the pill is paying the news.
Yeah.
You know, they're paying for the advertising spot. So isn't that convenient
that
we're now trying to sell you something to counterbalance the shit we just fed you?
It's like when you go to the doctor's office and they start trying to talk you into like, oh, what I think you need is...
Thanks, Adam Izzo.
You know, come up with a fake name of a fucking drug.
Wellbutrin or whatever.
Yeah, Wellbutrin. Yeah. And then, you know, as they're convincing you that that's what you need, you notice like... Their clipboard has Wellbutrin.
Right, the pen.
On the top. The pen, the whatever. I'm like, this seems not quite right.
This seems kickbacky.
Yeah. It's like.
No, it all is.
Exactly.
Yeah, and drug reps back in doctor's offices. I mean, it's been curtailed now a little bit, but they used to be able to send doctors on vacations and golfing.
Give them cars. Women, it was like incentives, cars. Like multi-level marketing type of shit.
And I remember when I worked in a pharmacy, like you would, like the drug reps would come in and they would throw down like 50 pens and like pads and like all this shit, you know, and you know, and have all their, you know, all the drug names on them and everything. Yeah, you know, the swag. And but in a pharmacy, you don't have any control. You just fill what the doctor writes, you know. So that's where they would give us the lesser stuff. But you go to a doctor's office and they buy everyone lunch, like, you know, because you had sway at the doctor's office.
They can't do that anymore, though.
They can't.
You're right. Yeah. Izzo's told me, because that's what he does. Izzo's a drug rep.
Yeah.
They're very strict. And I'm sure, look, rules are made to be broken.
But I was just going to say.
From what I've been told from him, and Adam is a stand-up guy, there's a lot you just can't do anymore. But from my experience and whatever business experience I've had, and it's a cliche, but. You know, they say how many deals are made on the golf course. I mean, I take trips, I do shows, and I take clients out. They take me out. And a lot of the business gets talked about real quick, and then you have a lot of fun.
Yep.
And then a deal's made. Because
at the end of the night,
And on a lesser level, even with something like comedy or any form of entertainment, you're going to get booked more by staying way late after a show or a mic and schmoozing and kind of drinking with the people that can book you, as opposed to just on pure talent.
I have fun with this person. Yes. This person makes me feel good, or
exactly,
it's like me, or whatever it is. Sure.
Yeah, everything is kind of that kickback,
which all starts from fear.
Mm-hmm. So it's there. You go. Boom. Circle.
I mean, you know, you're a parent of a teenager now, and I'm sure many times you've been tempted to hit this child. Ugh. But you
every
can't,
day,
but you can't do it.
No.
And that's, it's almost like the Chris Rock bit from years ago, where he talked about a lot of times women like will talk shit to a man knowing there's not that threat.
Yeah, there's not that. There's no repercussion.
You know, or even hit a man, which again, you know, in my opinion, I can't see how you can argue this. If you're a woman that hits a man, you deserve to get hit.
Yeah, I don't agree
with almost every circumstance.
I don't agree with hitting a man, but I also feel like we don't live in a world that is full of chivalry or things like that, where as far as I'm concerned, if I were to hit a man, I'm doing that in such a fit of pique that I'm accepting the odds,
of course,
that this is a man that will hit me back. You know, like, that's the world that I was brought up in, is just like, if you're willing to do that, you have to know there's,
because nobody should hit anybody.
No.
Exactly. So once you do that, you've now stepped into the ring.
Yeah.
Only hit if you've been hitting. I've been drinking tonight. Only hit if you've been hit first. It was always like how we were brought up. If someone hit, don't hit. But if you get hit, fucking fuck them up if you get hit. You know, it was the old speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yep.
That whole thing. It's like, be able to, but it's not your thing, you know? And that's how I think a lot of us were brought up. You know, we're all in our 30s. We're all like in that main age, same age.
40.
Whatever. Fuck. You know what I mean?
But hitting, close enough.
Hitting for the close most enough. Part, I guess.
Look, you look 30.
Thank you. 32, I was told.
Ooh.
This week. But
I could call 28. I liked it.
Obviously, there's situations of just, you know, whether it's retribution or crime or what. But most cases, like, fights start when, like, you run out of things that are intelligent to say.
Right.
I guess, in my experience.
My thought is that I'm 35. I'm not fighting anyone for anything.
Right. I see people get mad over parking spots, and
I don't believe in anything enough to throw fists for it. Exactly. I couldn't give a shit.
I don't even raise my voice if I'm angry. Like, if I'm angry at someone, I'm going to find the most calculating, cutting, cold way to tell them that in a very, I almost like lower.
Kill them with kindness. Yeah, almost.
I lower my voice when I'm mad.
Right.
You know, because it's almost like, no, you fucking listen here.
Yeah.
Like,
but also, there's nothing more infuriating to a person mad at you than you staying calm.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm good at turning that switch where I could just be like, you know, well, calmer than you.
Calmer than you are, dude.
Yeah. I give less fucks than you.
Or even worse, smiling when someone's getting mad. Like having a smirk on your face.
And that goes back to the initial conversation with this whole Pokemon thing where this person is angry trying to pull you in
to their
and
anger.
They're getting so mad that you won't.
Yep.
I remember being 21 and I lived in my own place in another state, and my mother was always kind of like the bane of my existence. And I saw something on some show about how, like, if you just smile when someone's being like mean to you or whatever, like, they can't do anything. And So I had this whole game plan with my like roommate that was my friend. And I was like, when she comes down here and starts her shit, I'm just going to smile at her. I smiled at her and she was like, look at those fucking horse teeth. I paid $5,000 for your orthodontist. Oh, wow. And started on a whole thing because won. I smiled at her. And I was like, fuck, she upped me. She figured it out. God damn it.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah.
That's impressive.
So I'm like,
I want to fuck her even more now.
Yeah. When you said like, fucking less. When you said like, just smile. Right. I'm like, yeah, no, that doesn't always work.
Well, not like that. But I mean, when what Laz said, where someone's like getting angrier, as their anger goes up,
mm-hmm.
and anyone who's worked retail knows, as someone's anger goes up, if you just kill them with kindness, it either diffuses or you at least feel really good.
Or like the sports analogy when like, you know, the great athletes always say they slow the game down.
Yeah.
So if you're in any kind of situation, just slow it down.
Yep.
And stay. Now, of course, you can get punched in the face, and that accelerates this shit quick. But
you could. But these people, I don't think, are as quickly violent as we're told.
Not
on
in
TV
our world.
Or whatever.
Not
yeah.
the world we live in.
Not yeah, the
not,
real world.
Not where everything's yeah, captured yeah, on video.
Yeah, everything's
so thoroughly now. That I don't think the same reactionary state exists. And if it does, it's so extreme that it's like this person has just lost control.
Yeah, this person's got problems.
Yeah.
Yes, and I mean, I'm in a bar every Saturday. I'd say maybe once every 6 weeks I'll see hands thrown.
So I haven't, yeah. You know, I mean, all those happens. Nights that I've stayed after with you, I've never seen a fight.
There's mostly not. So I've seen, you know, like I said, maybe once every 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Most times it's just pushing and shoving. But I have seen some fist thrown, and a lot of times it's jacked up, you know, muscle head dudes. It's never yeah. guys like us. It's never like regular people.
Well, because it's guys who are in there already looking for that. And, you know, they're probably muscled up and jacked up because they have some other thing that they're, you know, that they're
compensating.
Compensating, right. Yeah.
Small penises, etc.
Bad personality, small
yeah, penis. I was going to say like more like a personality thing. Well, yeah, small dick, whatever.
No, because really, like, words.
If you walk into a setting like that, a bar club, already agitated, already looking for some sort
you're
of...
You're going to find one.
Well, not only that, but clearly you have an issue. You know what I mean? Where you need to walk into that situation with that, you know, like with that anger already going, you know what I mean? Like there's already something in the background.
Yeah. And again, this all goes back to what we were talking about, where whether it's, you know, hating on things or making people feel bad, there's something in you that's missing.
Yeah.
And you're projecting that outward to now affect somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, that can be a wild card. Because, okay, it's one thing to be a fucking internet warrior with no consequences.
Right.
But when you're in a real human setting and you get, you know, conflict or anger involved, you better fucking back up the bullshit you're throwing out there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I'm not a tough guy or anything, but...
I am absolutely the farthest from it.
Well, I'm not a tough guy. However, I can certainly play one if somebody fucks with me. You know, I try to not back down. I picture so many situations, well, not so many, but a handful of situations in my adolescence where I was picked on, sometimes in front of a crowd and humiliated.
Oh, absolutely.
And I go back to that and I tell myself that can't happen again.
You know? Yeah, I remember being 13, maybe 14, and like my closest friends would, I mean, they were just like relentless, because I was a fat kid. So they relentlessly just go at me. Like, we go out to lunch, and we had open campus, and we'd walk up to town, get something to eat, and come back. And they would just go at me the whole time. Like
all
just,
of them.
Oh, digging and going and hitting, you know, like, mentally and whatever. And that's what built me. That's what made my self-deprecating humor, because it was all about, I'm going to get the joke before you get the joke. Like, I'm going to get it first.
And do it better.
And yeah, and I'm going to do it better than you could have done it. And I'm going to take it away, because if I take that, it's like fucking 8 Mile, man. I'm going to take the fucking insult before you have it, you know? Right. And then that's built it. And then, I mean, yeah. And so I kind of went the other way. Instead of being like you being like, I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm not going to let it happen again, but it's because I'm going to hit me.
You took away the weapon.
Yeah.
And turned it on yourself and them at the same time.
Yeah. I'm going to take, and you know, and I didn't really dig them much, but I would take the joke before they could take the joke. And then now what? Yeah. I know I'm a fat dude. All right, fine. Now
so
what?
So these so-called friends felt the need to mentally abuse you.
We were 13, 14
years old. Were they playing
old,
or were they being mean?
They were being, to their knowledge, playful.
Have you ever been in a fist fight, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not so, a long time.
How many?
A few when I was younger, my teens, and a few.
What kind of situations?
just, you know, stuff where, you know, kids playing and shit gets a little too far and you start throwing, you know. I mean, I got the
broken nose.
I got a broken nose. Yes. Yeah.
Damn. So did you win most of them, or
I didn't really win too much. I didn't. Well, there was none that really were wins a lot. Obviously, the one where I was bleeding from my face wasn't the win. But
you got to see the other guy though.
Yeah, he's laughing. No, I mean, you know, you got in a few. I mean, I think we all got in a few dust ups as kids growing up. It just happened.
Yeah. You never been hit in the face or hit someone in the face?
Oh, getting punched in the face, you learn a lot about yourself.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you realize, like, oh, shit, that sucks. I don't want that. I probably haven't been in a fight since I was 16 or 17, I don't think. I mean, I played football for 4 years. I played hockey for 15 years. I mean, you know, I had plenty of physical altercations, but...
But a lot of them were sports-related kind of thing.
Well, sports-related, you know, shovings, hitting, you know, especially in hockey, you get, you know, hacking, slashing, stuff.
A lot of times you might even shake hands after the game. It's all part of the game.
It's all part of the game, yeah. But actual fights, I mean, yeah, a few in my teens, nothing crazy, you know.
Can you remember the last time that you've even, like, say, had words with somebody, heated exchange, even now?
Let me think. I don't know. I can't even think of... Can you think of anything recently?
It's such an extreme thing to me because I've never really been in a fight.
Fist fight. Ever.
Yeah.
Physical fight.
But I'm so non-confrontational as it is. I mean, right. You know me.
And with that being said, too, you're the kind of person, from my perspective, that I couldn't think of a reason to be angry at you, so...
Yeah, people find reasons.
I guess.
No, I've definitely upset people and did things to piss them off, but I just... I'm also the kind of person, I don't argue. I'll talk it out. All right, well, what's the problem? Like, right. We'll figure it out. Let's have a fucking beer and figure out what the fucking issue. Like, I'm not a big confrontational person. I don't have the time or the energy. Like I said, I thought I was dying for, like, years. Like, I don't get, whatever. If you're mad, why are you fucking mad? Well, who gives a shit? You know, like, you know.
What was the circumstance of the most extreme fight you were ever in?
Oh, boy. I couldn't even remember. I mean, I just remember being in a fight and getting punched in the face and bleeding a lot in my nose. A lot of blood. We were 13, 14, you know, just shit. Kids
kind
playing.
Kind of boys being boys.
Boys being boys. It got a little too far and then
a lot of fights do kind of become when your boys are like wrestling or kind of like playing around and then one person
gets
goes too, a
rough.
Too far. It gets
yeah.
too rough.
And that's really what it was. We were doing something. Probably playing a sport or something, and it got too far, you know, and it wasn't like an organized sport. It was just kids playing in the backyard, and
right. It
went too far, and words, and then, you know, punches were thrown and whatever. And, right. You know, a week later, we all hung out together, and right. It was not a big deal. You know, that's how it was then. Right. You know, you threw your punches. It was a one-on-one fight. Nobody jumped in. You know, and then right. It was, and then, you know, a week later we shook hands and we were friends again, you know.
So were you ever in a fight that was over something other than a sport or something in that nature, something more serious?
I don't think so. Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but like I drink a lot in my 20s, so like a lot of it doesn't really register. But yeah, man, I'm also very non-confrontational. Like if someone else is getting agitated, I just avoid it and I don't get involved because I don't care about anything enough where I'm going to fight you on it. Like, I mean, I went to a ton of I love hockey, season ticket holder. So I used to be a season ticket holder. So I'd go to games and, you know, like there'd be kids who come in, like college kids come in drunk and just looking for fights. Yep. And I'd see people fighting and I'm like, it's a fucking, like those guys are millionaires.
Yeah, they could care less.
They wouldn't push you out of the way of a speeding bus. Like, they couldn't care less about it. And you're up here throwing fists over which color jersey you're wearing. Right. Like, who gives a fuck?
Right.
And that's why when I was a season ticket holder, I would sell my rivalry game tickets. Because, one, I'd make three times what they were worth.
You pay for the whole season with a couple of games, probably.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Dude, when the Devils played the Rangers in the conference finals, I sold off one of those games, paid for that entire round.
Right.
And then went to the other three. And, you know, and I'd watch guys, like, fighting and throwing fists. And it's like... Who gives a shit? It's a fucking sport. Like, it's...
Things that we've described tonight come back to some emptiness inside.
Yeah. It's because they're agitated. Their job sucks. Their life sucks. Their wife sucks.
Asshole.
Yeah. And they're going to go to the animals. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get shit-faced. And all that matters
or is... Or not even that. Maybe it's not even a conscious thought where the littlest thing sets that hair trigger off that's been waiting to be pulled for God knows how many months or years.
Dude, it's the reason you can't... At the Giant Stadium, they don't sell beer after the third quarter.
Right. Or the Yankee game. Or baseball game after the seventh inning.
Yeah, because it's just people... at that point, they
drank too much,
or, and they're just looking for a problem, and they're agitated, and their life sucks, and they're just, you know, they're basing it around, well, the Yankees hate the Red Sox. Right. It's like, no, nobody gives a shit.
No,
like, they're millionaires hanging out on a third base, joking with each other. Like, they couldn't care less.
They have the same agent.
Yeah,
they like, probably if do. I was having a fist fight with a Red Sox fan, like, yeah, the New York Yankee player would step over us to get to his limousine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Or have his security move you out of the
Correct.
Way.
Correct. Yeah, it's very...
And that's why, like, I'm not... I was never, like, super... I probably had a temper in, like, my late teens and my 20s. Like, that kind of... Like, I had a temper and shit. But then, like, I got a little older. I was like, I don't... Who gives a shit? Like, about any? Who cares? It's just...
I have a temper, but I'm able to collect myself. Like, even in road rage situations, which I don't typically get. Yeah, I can
collect.
But yeah. I'll have a guy or girl cut me off, and I'm pissed, and I'm like, you know what? Like, the wrong decision right now could change my life forever. I'll literally think that. Like, calm the fuck down. This moment means nothing. It's a pissing contest. It becomes ego. And for me, I'd like to think I'm secure enough that I don't have to win that moment.
Yep.
Okay, you cut me off. You got me.
Yep.
Good for you. I'm not going to risk my life.
No.
I'm not going to speed or get pulled over, whatever it is. Like, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
You know what? Because tomorrow I still have to get up and go to work.
Right.
Like, regardless. You know, like, regardless, I don't need to win this battle.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything. You have a wife. You have a family. You have a job, a career. You're going to have a house. Like, what do you care about? Like, it just doesn't matter.
It comes down to, like, an insecurity, and it comes down to who knows what?
Rage. I'm a ton insecure.
But it's how it manifests.
It's how it manifests. Insecure,
but how does it show up in our day-to-day life?
Yeah, and it shows up in ours, and that we go out and ridicule ourselves and try to make other people happy and do a podcast.
Or silently judge others.
Fucking Tuesday night.
Right.
And make snarky comments to each other in between the jokes, and that's how we do it.
That's it.
You know, and other people are like, they don't have that, so they're just like, all right, I'm going to get shit-faced. And I'm going to the bar, and the first guy that bumps into me, instead of just saying, you know, letting him buy me a beer and everything's cool, I'm going to start a fight with him, you know, like, you know.
Whenever I bump into someone at a bar, and it's like not a strategy, I always pat him on the back and smile, hey, man, always, I always acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, with a smile, too, like,
yeah.
Like, we're all in this together, you know, and.
Unless it's like another comedian on the sidewalk, and then you take shit real serious.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Who have I bumped into?
Not bumped into, but.
I've had problems. Oh, well, that wasn't just a random thing. That was a buildup.
I suppose.
If we're talking about Halloween.
Everything you do is not a random thing. It's a buildup.
Oh, I got it.
I think I got it.
I got it now.
But in any case, yeah, some people will go out and they're going to fight somebody.
Yeah, it's just a matter of who. It's just they have the picture in their head of them punching something, and then it's just like you insert your head into that.
Nobody knows what the last straw on the camel is going to be.
Right.
You know?
It might even be the first straw. These people might have that just, they're ready, they're locked and loaded.
Yeah, but that's because their entire childhood and teenage years has been throwing bales of hay onto the back of this fucking camel, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's never the first straw.
Yeah. Right. Nobody's born.
You just don't know how many straws are on that camel because nobody knows anybody else like that.
I bet a lot of things, especially with adults, might be misguided where something just happened that you calmly got yourself either out of or through, and then the wrong person or thing gets the brunt.
Yeah. Every moment I've been in where I finally wanted to lash out physically at anybody, there was always a circumstance surrounding it that kept it from being really possible or prudent. Right. So it's like, I'm grateful for that because I don't want that to ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and I'm sure it's different for guys, but for girls, there's always, like, it has to be really, like, the right moment.
Yeah.
You know?
You mean for, like, a physical
for
a fight?
Yeah. Like, you don't want to be the only, you know, like, maybe the other person you want to fight has friends there and you're all by yourself. Like, you're not going to go for it in that moment because you're still smart enough to know, like, I want to make it out of this alive.
I guess that's where alcohol might come in. A lot of times fights or altercations will...
Hold me back. Hold me back. Yeah, I know. I can't even think of the last time. I mean, we all were human. We've had the urge to hit somebody and whatever. But I've never been to the point where I was like, I really was going to rear up and punch somebody in years.
I've been close a couple times, but luckily, like, because I would have lost them all. It hasn't happened.
But like I said, I mean, like, you know, you're playing hockey, playing football. Right.
But that's still sportsmanship.
Yeah,
you're not gonna take your stick and fucking like Dale Hunter him across the head. You know what I mean?
I never would.
I mean, Marty McSorley is what I meant.
I never would. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it still would be.
Dale Hunter too.
That's right. Did Turgeon, right?
Yeah.
Wow, we're geeking out on hockey.
There we go.
Just twirling my hair. But, 89 you boys talk about because these things typically, you know,
like,
about.
With, no, but with sports, yeah, you might be legit mad, but it's always with the respect for your opponent, I think. You don't really want to.
But
like,
I think it's
because
it's kind of a microcosm of that. We're all sportsmen. We're all in this game. Like you said, we're all in this together. You know, I wouldn't want to get hacked in the knee or whatever. Right. And so I think it's kind of like that. It's like a microcosm of the way you react in life where it's like, yeah, we're all in this. Like, whatever.
But then there's the selfish, unaware person, sociopath, that only sees themselves and they're going to fight.
Yeah, and they're going to fight. And
they're Clint from fucking Dazed and Confused.
There you go.
You know, they're going to fight.
Yep.
And I keep getting older and they stay the same age.
Yeah, they're Ogie Oglethorpe from Snapchat.
Poor Shannon, a lot of hockey going on right now.
Ogie Oglethorpe.
They're the Hanson brothers.
He fought a lot. no, man, it's true. Yeah, I remember, you know, in hockey and stuff, you know, I was a goalie, so someone shove you and you'd fucking
give him a jab.
Give him the blocker back because you had that big blocker pad. Bam, smack him. I was fully padded. Fuck them.
Right.
I don't care.
I'm just an only child, unathletic, brunette, sarcastic girl. So
this is how you're feeling how I feel when you talk about sex. I'm like, what is that? That sounds magical. Really?
Well, if you want to put it to your terms, it's the way BJ feels while you guys play Scrabble.
there you go. Now you understand.
He wants to just cross-check you into the fucking wall.
He wants to punch you so bad, and you make them finish the game no matter what, no matter how bad you're beating him. He just wants to go to bed.
No. Just KO. Just finish him.
That poor man.
Simple man.
Wins that trophy at Creeks. It was a joke trophy. It wasn't even serious. Like a joke trophy.
It was very serious, Dan. And very serious.
He posts something about it, whatever, and she just puts like it was one trophy, whatever. And I posted her like, let it happen. Just let it happen.
The next morning, it wasn't the trophy post.
She let that one go.
Yeah, no, he took this whole new profile picture, like in a Superman t-shirt, like just basking in like the glow.
Oh, and let him have it.
And I was like, you win one trophy.
Let
you
him
know?
Have it.
And I thought it was funny because like he's moment. Still years later, anything that I've ever upped him at, like he won't let it go.
I know.
So it was my own private little jab, which I hope he enjoyed.
Well, you're just like a walking checks and balance. You got to keep it in check.
No, good for him. I'm very glad.
For what?
For winning a trophy.
He was very funny that night. He was very funny. It was a joke thing, but he was hysterical.
Good.
Anyway.
Good.
Good.
Good for him.
It's because I wasn't there.
I have fear of being left out syndrome. I have like chosen to be left out syndrome.
Well, Alec was also there.
It's like all the guys in the 60s that ran off to Canada just like following the war in the newspapers. That's how Laz feels about Creekside.
I'm just, you know, I'm tied up a lot of times on Thursdays.
Hot. Me too, man. Me too. I'm happy when I can get out there every once in a while.
Do you guys like being tied up?
Nope.
Nope. No, I don't think so.
I don't.
It feels very
vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just curious, like asking for a friend right now because I don't
know. Are you the
friend? Sometimes. But like, okay. So even if not being tied up, how do you guys feel about tying up in general?
I'd be way more willing to tie up the girl than be tied up because I wouldn't be willing.
Well,
to
you
tie
have
up.
No other choice, but you know.
Otherwise she'll get away.
Otherwise, she'll kick out the taillight in my trunk.
Where'd you find those smelling salts? Fuck, that was for later. That was when the cops got here.
This ether ain't cheap.
You know how much chloroform costs? You don't just make this.
Well, I guess this is the last rag now. Which is like also you. What we're going to call your last period.
The last rag.
Whackity smackity do.
For me, I can't not be, I need like that stop button. You know, I need to have my hands free to stop.
I don't
stop.
Need it control, but I need to have that like, yeah, like you said. I need the veto. I need to be like, no, we're done. Yeah, and when you're tied up, it's very, anything can happen.
Women, in my experience.
Did you ever read Gerald's Game? I mean, it's terrifying.
No, what is that?
Gerald's Game is a Stephen King book.
I have that book. I've never read it.
Read it. It's incredible.
Okay.
Basically, it starts with she's with her husband, who she doesn't really love anymore.
What's that like?
She's with her husband. They went to a cabin in the woods, or a cabin by the lake that they have. It's their lake house. So they went to, they're there, and the only way he can get off is by handcuffing her and fucking her while she's handcuffed. So he's doing that, whatever, and he starts getting rough. So she shoves him, and then...
How?
Like, she, with her feet, she kicks him.
Oh, you never, then, that's the strongest part of a woman's body.
And then he starts leaning down, and she kicks him again in the head. He falls.
Oh, now she's stuck.
Breaks his neck and dies on the floor, and she's stuck, handcuffed, alone in the middle of nowhere. And it's a fast, because she starts going insane, and Stephen King's just exploring all this shit.
I think I just came.
And then she got, I got it. And then she got, like, and then she starts remembering when she got, like, molested as a kid, and, like, all this weird shit in her mind. Her life is
flashing before her eyes.
Yeah, and it's, but it's, like, over the course of, like, a month. Like,
she's there for a month?
Or however, weeks, right. Whatever the fuck it is.
Still. I was gonna say, how's she drinking water?
But the point is, and like, her trying to escape, and all the things she tries to do to escape, and, like, a dog comes in and starts just eating his corpse because she can't do anything.
Nice.
Dude, it is I love when that happens. Twisted book.
Oh my God, I'm gonna read
it. Like, whenever I think of that, that's all I think of. It's like, what happens if something happens to this person and it's just me? Like, just here.
Well, hopefully you'd be in the house.
I would hope so.
Not at a golf course.
And then someone finds me.
You could scream for a neighbor.
Well, that's the great thing is right now. They have
to find me and my non-impressive dick.
Right now, BJ and I still live with my parents and my kids, so, you know, someone's gonna find me.
Someone's gonna find you, but yeah. I'm just saying, it's not
crazy.
It's not a. It's an amazing book.
But I see. For me, taking even
we're that still out gonna of it, let the dogs eat them because pedigree's expensive. It's but not still yeah.
To take, like, that out of it. I still don't want to be tied up and not have my hands.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea. I like to use them during the act.
I was just like, I found in my experience a lot of women, like, when I have, like, expressed a dislike for a certain thing, they're always like, no, you'll like the way I do it, and they won't fucking stop.
This is the nipple play, isn't
it's
it?
It's nipple. It's torso. It's this, I used to have a thing for having torso. My face touched.
What's really? The
I don't who, like my upper just, trunk.
Who just as a sexual thing puts out torso?
My upper trunk.
You don't what? Like you being touched on your upper trunk?
I've gotten better, but, like, I used to not like.
Where do they touch you?
Like my chest.
Show us on the doll.
No, but where else would you be okay with being touched?
So anything, I know for later. Anything below the belt and above the knee.
Anything okay. Above the neck and below the belt, I'm good. I don't like mostly my midsection.
I hope that's the name of your first special.
Above the belt and below...
Above the neck and below the belt.
The belt will be around the neck later, so it's okay.
It's Laz's entire career. Just above the neck and below the belt.
Sit in one of those. That's an interesting fear, though.
It's not a fear.
Not a fear, it's but it's an interesting
sensory.
Dislike.
Like yeah. I said, that's where I think my, like, level of autism comes in. A lot of sensory things.
I was just curious about this because I find most guys are more keen on, like, tying up a girl than being tied up.
Yes.
So I just, you know, it's not something that I've had a ton of experience with, but I'm really just kind of, like, putting a feeler out, and I feel like you guys are
like, oh, man, a good barometer. I want to lead when I dance. I don't want to be led.
I know a lot of, I don't know a lot of women, but I know women who enjoy that because they like when the guy takes control.
Mm-hmm.
So I know women who have liked being tied up because they feel like they're being controlled.
Yeah, and you're being taken.
Yeah, and I know women who like that aspect of it. I don't know if it's specifically the tying as much as that feeling of being dominated. Exactly. I know women who are into that. Yeah. And I know dudes who love like being dominated. That's not my thing, really.
Yeah, that was kind of my question. I mean, I think most guys,
gentle.
I think most guys would be fine with, even if it's not something they seek out, like, they'd be totally cool with, like, tying up a girl and doing whatever they wanted.
I would be all right. If it's some, you know what it is? If I know she's getting off on it, then all right, I'll do whatever.
But it's not something you guys would,
I wouldn't
like,
get off
seek
on
it out.
I wouldn't get off on
it. Yeah, I don't right. Seek it.
I'd do it if it was, like, requested, I guess, but.
Yeah.
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 I mean, if you like it that much, just find a quadriplegic and do what you want.
Well, like with men, there's that
get away.
There's that stereotype of like powerful men,
yeah,
that like want to like
yeah
be dominated in their downtime because they're so used to being in control, mm-hmm, and being the boss.
Never had that.
I'm problem. Not that guy, so I wouldn't know. You know, I wouldn't know what it's like.
Yeah, I spend my life dominated. And
right, exactly.
I don't need to know one moment when I'm coming as well. Like one this moment is of joy. To be
good.
So you guys,
I can't even rule in this part. Cool.
So you guys don't think you could relax enough Kylie's in that
tried
scenario?
It. She's tried to tie me up, but I and just couldn't. Did,
I would also have to have an immense amount of trust in someone for that. I just really would. Because I'm like, I'm already neurotic as fuck as it is. You know, I mean, I
you don't want to have to like 127 hours yourself.
Yeah, and I build up like in my head, like we were talking earlier about doing comedy and like people come up to you after and congratulating and you thinking in the back of your head like, ah, you're just saying it to be nice. Like I have that with
you're
a
like,
lot
this
of
bitch
things.
Is going to steal my kidney.
Yeah, like I have that with a lot of things both like, of in them. My head of just like, there's no way this person really enjoys me or likes me. There's something they're trying to get. I have $12 to my name. So I don't know what it fucking is. But there's
they don't know that.
Something. But there's like, I don't have that belief that I have anything to that I'm offering.
So it's like, what up, dude?
That used to be how I gauged dates when I was still single. I was like, if the guy doesn't leave me in a bathtub full of ice with one working kidney, this date went well. And even if he did, he left me in a bathtub full of ice with one working kidney. So
yeah, you've got a kidney
I hope
out
he
of it.
Calls
yeah.
me. Like, he cared enough to leave me barely alive.
But I've even had the ticklish factor. Like
I was just
my arms.
That's what I was going to go into.
And
more
nothing sexy about being tickled, you know, for me.
I don't
more
like it.
Guys, I,
don't like
I know. Girls, it's probably like
it's cute.
I no, but I feel like genuinely from what I've explored and experienced, maybe like 35% of girls are ticklish to that extent. From my own experience, like 80-90% of guys are ticklish,
right. I'm ticklish.
Like an extreme way.
I'm really? Ticklish.
Yeah, that's been my fight. Well, you're one of the 10%.
Are you ticklish?
Well, I am, but I don't like being tickled.
Right.
No. We're not
point.
Talking about liking it. I'm talking about I think guys are more ticklish than girls, and I think that maybe plays into it.
I was at a wedding a few weeks ago, and this one girl was just tickling people.
What?
It was weird.
Going around just tickling.
And
people.
I was like very drunk, and then she just came up and like started like, and I was like, what are you doing?
And like, but did you know her?
Back?
Listen, my
not
wedding
really.
Was amazing
yeah,
and you loved it in the moment, so just let it go.
I let her, yeah, she was having a good time, so I didn't let her. Good for you.
Was she attractive?
Yeah, she was cute.
You should have tickled her back.
I did a little, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right in the gooch.
But that's the thing.
Tit
like,
for
I,
tat, bitch.
But I have that constant fear of like she, and then I go back and it's like, no, you
she has a rape
far,
whistle
dude.
Or something.
You fucked it up, man.
But she was tickling everybody?
No, she was just kind of like doing a little. It was like she liked to pinch the cheek. She was just
what?
Doing a like.
What
was,
a psycho.
She was just doing. You're having
and
a
you're
good
sure
time.
You weren't drunk and this was like somebody's great aunt?
No, she was younger than me, which isn't saying
okay,
a lot.
You know, if a girl's tickling you.
She was 20 some odd.
If a girl's tickling you, you can take the opportunity to touch her back. A girl's not going to go tickling anybody that she's not
so
welcoming.
So I shouldn't have hit her with it's my like, beer bottle, is what you're saying.
It's like the same.
I shouldn't have screamed and hit her, is what you're trying to
it's
say.
It's the same philosophy of hitting a guy. If you're going to tickle me, I'm tickling you back, bitch.
I'm only asking because I have a court case in the paper, because I just want to know. I panicked, Your Honor. I didn't know what to do. I hit her.
I'm pretty sure tickling is like the ultimate defense, because no one has any control over themselves if you're ticklish and being tickled.
Yeah.
Most of the times that I've been like assaulted by a man, like I don't even count as
most
assault.
Of the times.
Most of the times. There's
there've been numerous.
There's another percentage, but most of the time it was like I'm tickling a guy that's really ticklish, and there's just like no control. Like, I just take like
you
a,
might get kicked in the
a
face
knee,
doing that.
Yeah, no, and I've been headbutted and kneed in the face, kicked in the face, punched like because people just lose their shit. But that's what I was putting out there when I was kind of even going into the tying up thing is I wonder if in my own mind, kind of like as a study, if the more ticklish you are, the less willing.
For me, it is. That's a definite factor. And the fact that I don't like certain sensations and I don't want to take the chance of it happening against my will.
Yeah, she's right, just going to tie me up, tickle me. I'm going to shit myself. Then she's going to leave.
Now I got to kill her.
Yeah, great. Now I have a whole revenge storyline in my head and that...
Don't tie me up. My people have been through enough. Don't tie me up.
Let my people come.
You know, if anyone ties you up, they're not going to try and like have sex with you. They're going to try and make you build like a fucking tourist attraction.
How can I do that with no hands, though? They're going to tie me to the next Jew next to me is what they're going to do. Like a chain gang.
Exactly.
It's very tight, please. If you could just loosen it a little bit, I think.
Is it draft in here?
All right, so duly noted.
Yeah,
don't tie either of us up.
You got to get rid of whatever you have in my car for the ride home that you planned on using. I got to drive anyway.
So I would like my hands free when you make me come, so I may applaud you.
you. I'll do anything for the sound of applause. So,
doing good.
Duly noted.
Sorry, BJ. I love you.
Well, listen, it's all characters we play.
Yeah, I know. We're playing a character.
It's all characters. And speaking of characters, July 29th.
Okay. Well, that's a good one. I mean, this will come out after that, but yeah.
No, it's not. Good line. Better not. Speaking of which, we haven't addressed, like, so, you know, we took a few weeks off and I was away and we've had some scheduling, but, like, we did record one that we couldn't use with my sister, so that was kind of a shame. There was too much said. There was too much information.
And this time it wasn't by me.
Too much said that Ian can not release me. Is amazing.
No, it was almost for like my sister's own safety. I think it just, I, at the time I was like, you shouldn't be saying all this. No, it's fine. And then the next morning when she searched the podcast, she's like, oh, you can find this pretty easily. I was like, well, no fucking shit.
We're kind of a big deal, you know?
Yeah, like, you guys.
You didn't realize. You were just biting off more than you could
chew. So for all you people out there, especially Yuri Diaz, we're sorry to keep you waiting this long.
Yes, we're very sorry, Yuri.
We won't
and
do it
we'll
again.
Make it up to you by having you as a guest.
Right, if you'll ever dare show your face.
So sweet. I finally got brought on. I'm so excited.
Oh, here we are, man.
Well, yeah. You've been on before. It's just this is a new incarnation.
It's like 2 years ago. It was long ago.
About a year ago, yeah.
I mean, I was on when we had the joint show with
that was
us
fun.
And the Cousin Joe show.
Joe drank urine there.
Joe
night.
Drank pee-pees.
That was great.
But this is the first time I've been like just me and the two of you guys, which is good.
That time we just had urine diots.
Yeah.
Jesus. Ponderful.
Ba-dum-bum.
Great. Okay. We've now, I think...
Once we've gotten down to the lowest level of comedy.
Yeah, we've digressed.
Yeah. We can't do pratfalls on the air. There's no video, so we just end it puns.
It's time.
I just threw a pie at Shannon, you guys. She slipped on a banana peel.
Pie, banana.
I've been cream pied before, Dan.
Hey-o, there we go.
I can take
all
it.
All right.
Truffle butter.
Those were the days.
Have you been truffle buttered?
What does truffle butter mean?
Coming in a girl's asshole?
Have you?
Have you had a guy come in your asshole?
Of course.
Do you poop that out or you just wait for it to be natural?
No, it's always like, because
they
want
to see it, right?
Any girl.
Oh.
No.
I don't.
Not even.
I don't
what happens
see that.
Is, regardless of what kind of sex you're having, right afterwards, any girl is going to the bathroom.
Right.
That's the first
Piss
thing you
it
do.
Out, clean it off.
And then when there's anal involved, it's kind of like because of the interaction with that orifice, like you're gonna pee and you're gonna have to kind of like, it's not quite a fart, I don't want to call it that,
releasing of air,
but
it's a releasing of
there's been something up in
a belch, if
the
you will.
Yeah, it's like if you're fucking with a dolphin's blowhole, it's gonna try and like
it.
Yeah. You gotta, you know, get
so you
the poison
go in the
out.
Bathroom.
So yeah. So ultimately this is what happens. You sit down, you pee, and then as you're peeing, there's the and
then the semen comes out with it.
Yeah. You do a fart and it never sounds like a fart.
It probably sounds like blah.
Yeah.
It sounds like your parents crying.
Yeah, it sounds
I should have hit her.
When mom cries.
They either didn't hit me enough or hit me too much. That's the magic combo.
Thanks, Dad.
But yeah, so you're sitting there, and then it's like there's always that little...
I'm not letting Ian do what he wants to do to me then.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I don't want any ass play.
And the cum's coming out, and it's always going to be slightly tainted. Sometimes more than others. But
tainted load, whoa.
Yeah, that's the real tainted love.
Virgin starfish is staying, so...
Ugh. Truffle buttered.
You're lucky to be born a white man in America then.
Holla holla. Yeah, no, I haven't come in any assholes.
That's the white woman's
the
burden.
List.
There's white man's burden, there's white woman's burden, and the white woman's burden is truffle butter. So.
Really? You can't just have them politely come on your back like a gentleman?
Well, I'm sure that's happened too.
No, but either way, they're still putting in your asshole first, you know, and you're not going to get pregnant, so they ain't pulling out on that one.
Hmm.
I have never, and I've said this a million times, I've never had the desire to fuck a girl in the ass. I don't
know. I never got the, a lot of guys like really want to fuck
they
a girl in the ass,
yeah.
And I never
dominant,
got it.
Tighter,
it's
whatever.
Always,
is that what it is? It's dominant
and
feeling?
And it's tighter.
It's almost always an extreme. Every guy I've ever known either is chasing it like it's a Pokemon or wants nothing to do with it.
I can take it or leave it. If a girl's like, fuck me in the ass, I'm like, all right, I mean, I will. It's not like my goal, but
All right. I mean,
it's, my dick's still involved, so I'll do
I
it.
I mean, yeah. I'm, do I get to ejaculate? Then fine. Fucking whatever. Just it just doesn't. This happens once in a blue moon. Let's just let it. A blue moon's happening often enough. This happens once every 8 blue moons. Yeah. So yeah.
It happens in once every moon. Case of blue moon.
Yeah, once. Every... Sometimes people make mistakes every 3 or 4 years. And I'm going to take advantage, and I'll come whatever way you allow me.
But you've had girls ask you to do that.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I had a girlfriend who liked it, which is weird because it was like a regular thing. And it's like, all right, here we go.
And a lot of girls my friends who are single come across seem to really be into that.
I don't know, man. I know a lot of dudes who want to fuck someone in the ass. And it's first off, it's like, well, why don't you just fuck dudes? Because you can.
It's probably not the same.
Is it? It's a butthole. A butthole is a butthole.
No, I don't know.
And there's a prostate to play with, too. So it's like more fun.
Okay, but saying a girl blows you, should a dude blow you? I mean, a mouth to mouth.
Porn.
As long as they shave, I don't know the difference.
Porn in the
last. Your beard is tickly. I don't like that.
In the last certain amount of time, porn has really glorified anal
sex, yeah.
In a way where it wasn't before.
I mean, to me, the.
I don't like watching. Yeah, I fast forward to the anal sex. The vagina
is the most magical thing on earth.
It's made for that. It's
amazing.
Yeah, and it's so soft and velvety.
I mean, there's nothing better on earth than the vagina. Like, why are you looking to, like, get something better
Don't
than
gild
that?
The lily.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. Like, you're in Disneyland. Why are you thinking about Epcot Center? Just enjoy Disney today. You'll go to Epcot tomorrow. Maybe.
And Epcot's not even that. That's Epcot's not even that boring. Great. You see the ball and you're done.
And it smells bad. Else.
Captain EO's done.
Captain Cornhole.
Nothing leads to anal sex more than Michael Jackson, is what we've figured out.
Whether you're awake for it or not.
And on that note, I think we have a full episode in the books.
Hot.
Thank you, yep. Dan.
It's full and brimming over.
Thanks for coming, you guys.
Oh, we didn't come yet, but we're gonna now.
Thanks for joining me in what would be a drug den if we could afford drugs.
Nice. This has been fun.
Some of us.
I can't afford shit at the moment, but I'm just milking what I got left.
I don't know how I'm going to fill my gas tank. I'm giving handies the fucking Sunoco.
Positions filled.
Rough handies.
These hands have been in hockey fights.
They look like good, strong hands.
The truckers love that.
It's like theirs.
Well, Shannon will pay if you do it at a glory hole.
That's true.
With another dude, she'll pay for that.
Oh.
I'm not paying for it. I can get that free on Pornhub.
I paid like $9,000.
Did you?
You know the story.
You overpaid.
Another day.
I do know the story, yes.
God damn it.
Well, this has been the Loose News Podcast.
Thanks for having me here, guys.
And it ends the same way it always does.
With regret.
Thanks for coming to my house.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.